This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, it's Thursday. You know what that means. We got Thursday night football going on tonight. And you know what that means? That means we got a Thursday night preview going on in the first segment. We'll be doing that there. Second segment. We'll be talking MLB. You had the Yankees taking two in a row against the Red Sox. I feel like there's some story to be told there, so we'll be doing that, along with talking about anything else going on in the world of baseball. Third segment, we're going to get back into the whole Jimmy Butler thing. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN tweeted out that the team he's most interested in is the Clippers. I said that the Clippers would make the most sense as to trading for him, so we'll be talking about that. And then for the fourth segment, as I always do, I will be talking about whatever else is going on in the world of sports or any other sports topic that comes through my mind. You never know. So let's get into it. Like I said, Browns-Jets tonight. Well, Jets-Browns, I guess. Jets being the road team, Browns being the home team. It's not the most glamorous game that we have, but maybe it'll be a bit different. Week one, we had Eagles-Falcons. That game stunk. Week two, we had Bengals-Ravens. That game was one where the Bengals played well, and the Ravens were pretty much playing catch-up the entire time, so it wasn't the most entertaining game, I'd say. Maybe we'll get a close one here. We got the Sam Darnold going up against Tyrod Taylor. I'm sure people were hoping, at least the NFL was hoping, that it'd be Baker Mayfield versus Sam Darnold for week three. Obviously, that didn't happen. But looking at both teams, how their season has started so far, these teams are about even, I'd say. I mean, you look at it, the Jets blew out the Lions week one, beat them, what, 48-17, I think it was, the next week, after all the hype from the New York media, Sam Darnold this, Sam Darnold that, the Jets this, the Jets that, Jets fans thinking they're going to the Super Bowl, you got them losing 20-0 to Miami, eventually finish off the game 20-12, and Darnold played like a rookie in that one, 12 or two interceptions, one touchdown, did throw for a lot of yards, and the Jets do have something in Sam Darnold. Definitely, he is going to be a very good quarterback for that team. But like I said, we need to pump the brakes as far as hyping him up. And that's the New York media's job. And as far as the Browns go, should be 2-0 if we're being real here. No reason why they shouldn't be. You look at it week one, they should have beat Pittsburgh. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger and that team basically handed them the win on the silver platter and said, no thanks, we don't want this, we're not used to this, I don't want this. So they tied, which is terrible. Week two, shout out Zane Gonzalez. They don't get it done. They were up for the majority of the game. I think they were up 18-3 at one point. I might be mistaken. Either way, no, it wasn't 18-3 at one point. Yeah, I was mistaken. The Saints put up 18 points in that fourth quarter. Either way, the Browns blew it and ended up losing 21-18. Zane Gonzalez misses four total kicks, two field goals, two extra points. Comes out the next day that he's got a groin injury. I mean, shouldn't have played then. No sympathy here. He's gone. Now they got a new kicker. I believe it's Greg Joseph. He was cut from the Miami Dolphins in the preseason. And, I mean, you look at the Browns. The defense has played extremely well. Offense, something doesn't seem to be clicking there. And as far as the Jets go, the defense is playing really well. In the offense, I wouldn't say anything is not clicking. It's just they need more time to develop. And looking at it, I mean, as far as both teams and their outlook for the rest of the season, I think the Browns are going to end up finishing last in the division. I mean, Hugh Jackson isn't a great head coach. Tyrod Taylor is a decent quarterback. I don't think he finishes out this season. I think everyone was just waiting for his first bad game so they could throw Baker out there. And as far as the Jets go, they will finish third of the division. I feel pretty confident about that. Like I've said, they'll be a 6-7 win team. And if they get 7, I mean, that's a big plus compared to last year. And also one where I guess there's a little bit of hope going forward. I mean, the Jets are nowhere near the team that they want to be currently. There's upgrades to be made at the wide receiver position. There's upgrades to be made at the running back position. Defense is looking nice. Offensive line needs work. I mean, against Miami last week, they were terrible. But you have your quarterback, I'd say. And as far as the Browns, I mean, like I said, I think they'll finish last in the division. They're playing better than they were last year. And they're still not coming out with wins. I mean, Vegas has got them favored by 3 points in this one, which is, I guess. I mean, I'm thinking the Jets have probably been the better team. It should be the team that's favored, but I mean, it's a home game. It's Thursday night football. The home team usually does well on Thursday nights. And looking at it, the game itself tonight, matchup I'm looking forward to is this Jets offense versus that Browns defense and vice versa. That's where it's going to come down to right here. And I guess that's kind of redundant. But what I'm saying is with the Jets, I mean, Darnold last week struggled against Miami's defense. This week, if they want to have any chance at doing anything, they got to play much better. And it's going to be difficult, given you got Myles Garrett on one side, Ogba on the other, and then you got guys like Denzel Ward in the secondary who can't cause havoc. You look at the Browns offense going up against the Jets defense. Tyrod Taylor has been shaky, and like I said, there's been something wrong with this Browns offense. And it's not Tyrod Taylor, I think, being bad, and maybe that is what it is, and I'm just not realizing it yet, but something seems to not be clicking, and I think this is going to be a very low-scoring game. I really do. Maybe like a 17-10, 17-13 type game. I mean, it's very much possible. And you look at the Browns, this is going to be their first game without Josh Gordon. We've already talked about the trade. Again, I think it's something that needed to be done. As good as he is, and as much as we tend to defend him now, the guy's still a knucklehead. Okay, if you're hurting your hamstring at non-team promotional shoots and showing up late to the team facility, that's something that the Browns can't have around them. The Browns have tried, or are trying, to rebuild this broken culture, that losing culture with that team. And you can't be having one of the best players on your team showing up late and getting injured and things that don't have to do with the team. It just simply can't happen. And I know everyone's going to kill the Browns once Josh Gordon plays well with the Patriots. And that's not a given, actually. Josh Gordon playing well with the Patriots. I mean, you guys keep trying to compare him to Randy Moss, this trade to Randy Moss. I mean, how lazy can you guys be? Randy Moss is the greatest receiver of all time, arguably. Josh Gordon, as much as we love to talk about him, hasn't really done anything since 2013, I think it is. It's been 5 or so years. And let me take a look at Josh Gordon's stats over his short career. So you look at it, and let's see, 2012, he played 13 games. He had 50 receptions for 805 yards, 5 touchdowns. 2013 was his best season, where he had 87 receptions for over 1,600 yards, 9 touchdowns. 2014, he only played 5 games. 2015, 2016, he was suspended. That season that we keep looking back to and keep bringing up was long ago. Okay. Josh Gordon's already 27 right now. It's not like he's this young guy. And I think we overhype him a bit. We all know that he does have the talent to be a top-end receiver. But let's wait till he actually does that in order to crown him. Okay, because there's no given that he's going to pick up that Patriots playbook. We've seen multiple players go in there and just seemingly struggle. So I'm not ready to say, oh yeah, it's going to work in New England. So I have no problem with the Browns trading him. It's something they had to do, and it's something that could backfire, given, I mean, Gordon could just never get suspended again and be one of the greatest receivers in the NFL. I mean, not greatest, but one of the top receivers in the NFL, I should say. Greatest kind of makes it seem like he's all-time great. But like I said, I'm not going to knock the Browns for that trade. And as far as the game tonight, I mean, I think my pick, I'm going to go with the Jets. The home team has won the last two games, and I should go with the Browns as they are favored. But I like Sam Darnold. That offensive line kind of scares me now. I mean, you look at Myles Garrett. He's going to get into the backfield. He's going to get to the quarterback a few times tonight. I guess I made my pick in the GSMC football podcast for the Jets, so I'll continue with that. I will go with the Jets, but I am kind of second-guessing myself, given I think Myles Garrett and that defensive line is going to have a field day. But yeah, I'll go Jets still. I'll go with Darnold, and I'll say that Jets defense doesn't have to help out the offense. So we'll see what ends up happening as the game goes on. Hopefully it's not as bad as the last two have been. But, I mean, it's football, so us as football fans will watch. Us as sports fans, I should say. So we're going to be moving on from this. Next segment, I will be talking about the MLB news going on, games that happened last night, and update the standings. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. First segment, we spent it talking about the Thursday night football game. I got the Jets winning tonight. They've really impressed me with the first two games. I didn't think they were going to beat Miami. They didn't. The game against Detroit was obviously a good one, but I saw some things against Miami that showed me the Jets are going to be a good team within the next few years, and I think they're going to be able to handle business tonight. Again, I'm kind of going against the grain here, given road teams don't really do too well on Thursday night, but we're going to go against it. So I got the Jets going tonight. Should be the Browns, but I'm going to stick with the Jets. So now we move on to the MLB. And remember, Puig is your friend. Yasiel Puig is absolutely great for baseball. Anyone who disagrees is either an old-timer who misses the old-school version of baseball, or someone who hates fun. Okay, and I get the old-timers. You guys have a certain way of how you watch baseball and on how the game was played. I get that. But as far as the other people, how can you hate Yasiel Puig? You simply can't. There's no way. Okay, the guy is great for baseball. He's entertaining, and he breathes some life into the game. I am a Yasiel Puig fan. I am not a Dodgers fan, but the guy is perfect for baseball and is exactly what they need. I mean, there's no one like him in the league right now. And the dude has been on an absolute tear, hitting home run after home run. And, I mean, the guy claimed that they're going to win the NL West. I'm sold on the Dodgers, okay? The Rockies, I've always been hesitant with teams and kind of written teams off as far as having a bad run differential. And I should have with the Rockies. I went against it and I did it. I mean, the Dodgers won yesterday. Let me check that score real quick. So for Wednesday the 19th, and I think this was the final game of the series, one where the Rockies ended up getting swept. I mean, the worst possible outcome for them that you could have. Dodgers won this one 5-2. All right, like I said, Puig been on absolute fire as of late, and no one's really been able to stop him. We also had another divisional game playing yesterday, and that was the Yankees and Red Sox. I feel like something is there to be talked about with the Yankees and Red Sox series, but I'm not sure what it is. Okay, because you know what? The Yankees have taken the first two games of the series, but it doesn't really matter. And why it doesn't matter is because the Red Sox are still 9.5 games up on them. I mean, essentially, this series is pretty meaningless. But, and, I mean, David Price, you could talk about him and his struggles at Yankee Stadium, but how much is that going to matter in the postseason? The Yankees win the wild card game. First two games are at Fenway. Price is pitching game two for sure. He doesn't have to worry about that short right field out there. And that's honestly ridiculous. I don't understand what the Yankees will. I mean, maybe it's like a home field advantage type of thing. And again, it does. It's the same size, same length for everyone, as far as everyone who plays there. But that Little League right field is ridiculous. I mean, literally, it's a Little League right field. And like I said, there's some story to be told from this series, but I'm not sure what the story is. Like, I got a feeling something is going on here. And not like bad or good or anything like that. Like, not like a breaking story, but there is something to be talked about. And I can't put my finger on it, because like I said, this series is essentially meaningless. The Red Sox and Yankees have been going back and forth all year long. So it's not like the Yankees, it's not like the story is the Yankees have had the Red Sox number or anything like that. It's not anything about the division, because the division's already over. I mean, maybe it's just, this is the first time in a while we've had a Red Sox and Yankees series that meant absolutely nothing, as far as in the grander scheme of things. And we feel like there's something that needs to be talked about, but there really isn't. I'm not sure if the Red Sox can clinch tonight. I think they're going to have to clinch over in Cleveland. But David Price does need to pitch better in New York. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure why he struggles so much. The bullpen needs to be much better. But the Yankees have just been flat out the better team the last two games. So I will give them that. And as far as a Red Sox-Yankees ALDS, if that were to possibly happen, I think that's a series that goes five games. Boston taking the first two in Boston. Yankees taking the next two in New York. I mean, the Yankees at home have been pretty much unbeatable. They're 51-26. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they got the second best home record in the league, right behind Boston. So essentially, my pick for that series would be the Red Sox, given you play game five at Fenway. I'm assuming with Chris Sale going in that one. And that's where I think the series is won for the Red Sox, is the starting rotation. Again, I don't see either of these teams winning a road game in that series. But it's way too early. A's fans yelling at me, what about us? What about us? Don't worry. I'm just saying if this were to happen. So there's that. Let's see if there's any other MLB storylines going on before we move on. And that's pretty much it. So let's take a look at the scores and see what ended up happening yesterday in the MLB. So for Wednesday the 19th, today is the 20th. We had a lot of early games going on yesterday. We talked about some of the scores. We'll go ahead and talk about them again. You had the Braves beating the Cardinals 7-3. Twins beating the Tigers 8-2. Rays beat the Rangers 9-3. You had the Phillies beating the Mets 4-0. I can't wait to watch the Rays next season, too. They're going to be so good. Yankees beat up on the Red Sox 10-1. Luis Severino started off the first inning pretty shaky. I mean, wasn't really hitting the zone with his fastball, but picked it up. He ended up going 7 innings, only 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts. Price went 5 and a third innings, 4 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, 4 walks. I mean, just couldn't command the zone, and it didn't help the fact that Eduardo Nunez let a ball go right through the middle of his legs. Looking at Boston's bullpen, Joe Kelly came in. He gave up 2 runs, and then you had Cuevas giving up 2 runs also. This bullpen is absolutely terrible. It's ridiculous, and that's going to be the downfall of the Red Sox if they don't end up going to the World Series. Yankees pitched well. Jonathan Holder pitched well. I believe that's Justice Sheffield, who was recently called up. Justice Sheffield pitched well also in his little inning that he was out there for. Justice Sheffield, is he my age? Justice Sheffield is a few months older than me. Yeah, that's crazy too, growing up, and now these players that you're watching are pretty much the same age as you. It's kind of crazy when you're watching college sports now. But either way, like I said, Yankees won that one 10-2-1. Moving on to the next game, you had the Blue Jays losing to the Orioles 2-1. Orioles not able to extend their franchise record for losses. They currently sit at 108. Pirates beat the Royals 2-1. Indians beat the White Sox 4-1. All right, yeah, Jason Kipnis hitting a walk-off grand slam. I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest feelings in the world, hitting a walk-off. Brewers beat the Reds 7-0, handled business there. Mariners beat the Astros 9-0. Not great, but the Astros are still four games up on the A's. Padres beat the Giants 8-4. Diamondbacks beat the Cubs 9-0. It's going to be real nice looking at those NL Central standings right now in a little bit. Like I said, we had the Dodgers beating the Rockies 5-2. I think it's safe to say the Dodgers are going to win this division. I mean, I'm overreacting and I'm completely shifting my take on the Rockies winning it, but I'm going to stick with them. The Dodgers are getting hot at the absolute right time right now. And Puig's got this team all fired up. And then you had the A's beating the Angels 10-0. Looking at the games going on tonight for the 20th, Thursday. You got the A's and Angels playing tonight. Matt Shoemaker pitching up against Edwin Jackson. Red Sox Yankees, Eduardo Rodriguez going against Masahiro Tanaka. I could see the Yankees end up sweeping the series tonight. Mets playing the Nationals. Max Scherzer pitching. Rays playing the Blue Jays. White Sox Indians. Royals Tigers. Reds Marlins. And Phillies Braves. No late games going on tonight. And as for the MLB standings, we have currently in the AL East, the Red Sox up 9.5 games. Indians clinched their division last weekend. Astros 4 games up on the A's in the NL West. Or AL West, excuse me. NL East, Braves are up 5.5 up on the Phillies. I mean, I guess we can't completely write the Phillies off. They still have a chance mathematically, but they're done. Cubs are 2.5 games up on the Brewers. Up 5.5 up on the Cardinals. Dodgers now 2.5 games up on the Rockies, and the Diamondbacks, I'd say, are done. They are now 6 games back of the leaders in the NL West. Looking at the wild card, Yankees 2.5 up on the A's. Red Sox doing the A's no favors in their series with the Yankees. And in the NL, Brewers, I think, are a lock to make the wild card game at least. They're 3 games up on the Cardinals for that top spot. Cardinals sitting in the second spot are 1.5 games up on the Rockies. I think we will have 3 teams from the NL Central. We'll probably end up having a Dodgers-Cubs NLCS or a Dodgers-Brewers NLCS. And I would not be opposed to either. I'd like to see Dodgers-Cubs actually more, given those are probably the 2 best teams currently in the NL. But that's all I got for the MLB here. Next segment, we'll be getting into more of the Jimmy Butler trade request and all that. So stay tuned for that, and I will be right back.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we previewed Thursday Night Football, talked to MLB, and now we move on to the NBA. I mean, yeah, we talked about the Jimmy Butler news yesterday. He requested a trade. The 3 teams he's most interested in are the Clippers, Nets, and Knicks. I don't think we talked about that yesterday, so we will for this segment. But either way, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted yesterday, and I'll just read the tweet word for word here. Minnesota's Jimmy Butler is most determined to find a way to the Los Angeles Clippers. League sources tell ESPN. The appeal of partnering with a second star, dash, the Clippers have 2 max contract slots available, and free agency, dash, is an intriguing scenario for him. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, you get to go live in LA. No weather better than California weather. That's a fact. And You don't really play for the team. Like, there's not pressure there. There's no pressure. Playing for the Lakers, you're expected to win, and win some more. Not too many guys can handle that. Guys like LeBron can, and that's why he's there. But you look at it, you go to the Clippers, there's not much pressure, okay? Even though it is the Clippers and not the Lakers, playing in LA is still very much a selling point. Plus, Jimmy Butler's a great player. It's just a matter of which superstars can he bring over there. Maybe a Kawhi? Possibly. I mean, imagine Jimmy that's going to happen. It's going to happen. Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard will be on the same team, I bet, if Jimmy Butler goes to the Clippers. And the Clippers could be a problem if that happens. I mean, honestly, think about it. The Clippers were a team on Kawhi Leonard's list. And they're both free agents after this year. Woj clearly stated that they got two max slots. I mean, it's going to happen. I'm going to call it now. I mean, of course, the Timberwolves don't have to trade him over to the Clippers. They can trade him wherever he wants. And if I'm the Timberwolves, I mean, if I was a GM and a player came and requested a trade, I would trade him to the worst possible destination in the league, no matter what league it was. Why would I trade you to where you want to go if you don't want to be here? What sense does that make? I'd send Jimmy Butler to Orlando. Imagine him sending him over there. No chance of winning. I mean, why not? But I mean, if you look at all three teams, it would make no sense for the Knicks to trade for him. And I think we did talk about it yesterday, actually. Did we? I can't remember exactly. Actually, he requested for a trade on Tuesday. I got my days mixed up now that I do the podcast, different shows for the podcast every day. So yeah, we did talk yesterday. It was the Knicks, Nets, the Clippers. But yeah, like I said, it wouldn't make no sense for the Knicks to trade for him, given you have an opportunity to get him in free agency. The Nets, you don't really have the assets. Well, you're not really in the position to trade the assets that you have. Clippers, it would make the most sense. I thought the Heat were a team that could maybe swoop in and get him. But, I mean, we got to wait and see what ends up happening. Because, like I said, Minnesota necessarily doesn't have to trade him where he wants to go. So, we'll see what ends up happening with Jimmy Butler. For those basketball movie fans, Space Jam fans, and LeBron fans, Space Jam 2 is definitely going to be a thing. LeBron's going to be in it. Ryan Coogler, the producer of Black Panther, Fruitvale Station, and Creed, will be directing it. I mean, all three of those movies are great. There's literally nothing wrong with either of them. Black Panther is one of the best Marvel movies. Creed was a great movie. And Fruitvale Station was also a great movie. So now he's got Space Jam 2. And I'm curious to see how they set this one up. And I'm curious to see if it's like a remake or a sequel. Space Jam 2 makes me feel like it's a sequel, but I guess we gotta wait and see. And we're not really talking Space Jam here, but more so LeBron and him being in LA. People tried to tell me that LeBron going to LA was strictly a basketball decision and not a business one also. And I don't know how people didn't see that this was a business decision. LeBron coming to LA is thinking of life after basketball. I mean, you can clearly tell that. We always talk about, oh, this player goes to LA, they can be in more film, movies, all that, do all that stuff. Because that's where all of it is, LA. And you're telling me that it's just a coincidence that LeBron's coming out with all these shows he's executive producing. I think he's got an HBO show one, or HBO show that Jemele Hill will be on. I saw there's an NBC show, I think it is, that he's trying to do with Ben Simmons about Ben Simmons' life. It's supposed to be a comedy, I think it is. And then you got Space Jam 2. LeBron is a businessman now. Of course, he's going to do whatever he can to win a title with the Lakers. I mean, that's not going to happen this year. I'm not even sure if the Lakers make it to the Western Conference Finals. The way I have it right now, I have the Warriors finishing 1, Rockets 2, Jazz 3, Lakers 4, Thunder 5, Trailblazers 6, Pelicans 7, and then either the Nuggets or Spurs finishing 8. Maybe the Mavericks can sneak into there. But either way, I mean, you look at it, yeah. LeBron's trying to become a billionaire. Tiger Woods, I think, is the only professional athlete so far in their career who has eclipsed $1 billion in earnings, meaning I believe it's off of endorsements, tournament wins, and all that. I think LeBron's trying to become the next. And Tiger did that years ago, too, I believe. I mean, it's ridiculous how massive of a superstar Tiger Woods was, especially in golf. This isn't the NBA. This isn't the NFL. It's not the MLB, for that matter. Golf. And Tiger Woods was out there cashing out. And I mean, that's the way to do it there. But you look at LeBron, I mean, him going to LA, another market he can try and take over is China. I mean, that's one of the biggest when it comes to the NBA. There's plenty of money to be made there. And maybe LeBron sees Kobe winning his Oscar and thinks, I want some of that too. Maybe LeBron gets an Oscar for Space Jam, possibly. But either way, I mean, it's always good to see players doing this and like pretty much going in outside ventures. Because you look at LeBron, LeBron is probably the smartest basketball player who ever lived. As far as business, basketball IQ, and all that tied in together. I mean, the guy has put his friends through law school. Like, he's basically brought his friends up with him in his journey. But has also pretty much shaped their roles in his life. Like I said, with the guys he's put through law school, he's got Maverick Carter, who's pretty much been his sidekick the entire time. The guy's a genius. The guy has won. I mean, he's never gotten into trouble. There's never been a bad story about him. It's honestly kind of crazy how he's managed to get by being one of the most scrutinized superstars of all time and not have one bad thing about him, meaning never gotten in trouble off the court or anything like that. And it's honestly kind of hard to stay that way. Just pretty much be a solid guy your entire career, given the media is looking for any little story they can to possibly bring you down. But we'll see what ends up happening with the Space Jam movie. I have no clue if it's going to be funny or not, or good or not. I think Michael Jordan could play a role in it. Maybe he could play the Bill Murray role, where LeBron is struggling against the Monstars. You got Bill Murray who comes out and say, or Michael Jordan comes out and saves the day. It's possible. But that's all I got to say about that. Getting back to the Jimmy Butler thing. I mean, it seems like there's a whole lot more drama within the Timberwolves locker room with Jimmy Butler than we know about. And now that I think about it, like all the stories that have come out, and you can search those stories up on your own if you want to see. Some of them are rumors, and those rumors don't need to be put on this podcast. But Wiggins seems to be pretty happy about Jimmy Butler being gone. So does Towns. And I'm not sure if Minnesota's going to be able to keep Towns long term. I mean, it seems like everyone's kind of fed up there. Like, we might see Andrew Wiggins leave and all that. I guess the team, and again, from the rumors I've seen, the team was pretty fractured in the locker room. No one really talked to each other. And that's obviously not a recipe for success. Maybe Towns stays a lot longer if Tibbs ends up getting fired. That's a possibility after this season. But yeah, I'm almost positive Jimmy Butler will get traded before the season starts. I don't think you can bring Jimmy Butler back into that locker room and have a cohesive unit. Like, it just won't work that way. So we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, the NBA has always got something going on. That's why it's the best league, most entertaining league in the world, I'd say. So, like I said, we'll see what ends up happening. But that's all I got for this segment. Next segment, we'll be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
The average SUV has two blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked Browns-Jets going on tonight. MLB news, MLB scores, and MLB standings in that second segment. Third segment, we talked Jimmy Butler, more about Jimmy Butler, Space Jam 2 with LeBron. And now we talk about anything else going on in the world of sports. And it'd be a shame if I didn't mention it since this is the world of sports. John Jones will be coming back to the UFC and will be back, I think, before UFC 230. Not sure if he'll fight in UFC 230, but will be back. USADA gave him a retroactive 15-month suspension, meaning he's been out for about nearly 15 months. So once the 15th month is over, he will be back. And I'm not a huge UFC guy or anything like that. I'm more of the boxing guy. But of course, this is news. This is big news. Because you know what? John Jones being back means casual fans like myself will be paying attention. If John Jones fights, casual fans like myself will be watching. And I'm not sure what the plan is for John Jones or anything like that. I mean, a few months ago we saw maybe John Jones versus Brock Lesnar type of fight. I've been seeing UFC fans maybe throwing out a fight for him and Alexander Gustafsson for UFC 230. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I'm not, like I said, I have no clue what the plan is for John Jones. But either way, John Jones is going to be back, and I'm excited. I mean, he's arguably the greatest UFC fighter to ever do it. No one really comes close to him. I mean, he just dominates. So it'll be interesting to see what the UFC does with him and who his first fight will be against. And I kind of hope they don't do John Jones versus Brock Lesnar. Like, let's get like an actual good fight rather than one that will be in the headlines. Because we know who wins in a John Jones and Brock Lesnar fight. So, I hope they actually, like, I don't even want to see him versus Cormier again. I want to see John Jones. I think the Gustafsson fight would be solid. But we'll see what ends up happening. But again, wanted to bring that up. It's important news. And here I am, bringing it up. I want to head over to the MLS real quick. The San Jose Earthquakes are one of the biggest embarrassments in all of the MLS right now. And it's ridiculous what's going on there. They've literally had these same problems go on the last few years. Last 6 years, I'd say. And nothing has really changed. Okay, the owners don't put enough money into this team for them to compete with the top teams out there, meaning they don't bring in top players. Okay, they try to sell you this sham of, oh, we're bringing in homegrown players, we're bringing in our own. Like, that's not how you win. Like, I get it. Nick Lima is solid, okay? That's a great homegrown player. But you got to get other talent also. And buying from cheap players from those bad Europe leagues, no one is buying into that. That's what the San Jose Earthquakes do in order to save money and not compete. All right? They try and sell, oh yeah, we're bringing in the homegrown players so the fans will like it. Oh yeah, great homegrown players. And they'll bring in some European player from some bad league that costs pennies on the dollars. And fans are like, oh well, we're getting players from Europe. This team stinks. It's embarrassing. 2012, they had a great year. Since then, they've been a dumpster fire. They've had four coaches in the last year and a half. That's embarrassing. It's not even a problem. It's just embarrassing. And I'm not sure there's any end in sight here. Because the GM seems to have no clue about what he's doing. So we'll see what ends up happening with them. I know the MLS isn't the most popular league or anything like that. But what's going on over there is a huge problem. So we'll see if it ends up getting fixed up. Let's see what other storylines there are for me to talk about. Urban Meyer is going to be coming back. I mean, the guy had one of the worst PR things of all time. I mean, he consistently dug himself a hole with every statement he put out and every interview he did. I don't know why he continues to talk. Just keep quiet, return back to the football field, and just don't say anything. I don't get him at all. But I mean, Urban Meyer's going to come back. People are going to leave him alone and worry about whether or not Ohio State's going to win the national title. And I don't think that anyone really has a chance currently, given Alabama is a powerhouse, okay? An absolute powerhouse. Like, no team stands a chance right now, I'd say. I mean, you got Bama's defense, and then they finally have a top quarterback. Who's going to beat them? Georgia looks great. I don't think Georgia can beat Alabama. Ohio State looks great. I don't think Ohio State can beat Alabama. I mean, it's ridiculous how good they are. And let's take a look at the top 25 ranked games this weekend to make our picks. So, we got UCF versus Florida, FAU, Florida Atlantic University. I love FAU. I've never watched a game of them. But, I mean, Lane Kiffin is entertaining. I'm going to go UCF. I'll go UCF there. I kind of hesitate because I wasn't sure if I wanted to go with FAU. But I'll go UCF. Let's see. We got Penn State versus Illinois. Levy Smith coaching Illinois, for those who forgot where he was. I got to go Penn State here. I mean, there's no reason to believe Illinois will win this one. And Levy Smith taking the Illinois job was, I mean, I guess he's ready to ride off into the sunset. Because you're not getting players, recruiting players away from Michigan, Ohio State, or any of those Big Ten teams. Like, Illinois is at the bottom of the totem pole there. Illinois is a basketball school. And then you got Georgia versus Missouri on Saturday. And let me see, that Penn State game and UCF game is Friday. We have no Thursday night games tonight. But you got Georgia versus Missouri. Georgia's going to win that one. You got Notre Dame versus Wake Forest. Is this going to be the one that Notre Dame ends up losing? I mean, they're going to get upset by some team soon. I can feel it. And it's not me trying to hit on Notre Dame. They just haven't looked great at all. I'll go Wake Forest. I'll say this is it. I mean, they're only 7-point favorites. Obviously, that's a problem. I'll go Wake Forest. Wake Forest is winning this game against Notre Dame. Then we got Nebraska versus Michigan. Michigan, I'll go with them. Nebraska hasn't looked good at all. Purdue versus Boston College. I will go Boston College here. Alabama versus Texas A&M. I mean, like I said, Alabama's a powerhouse right now. No one's coming close to them. Clemson versus Georgia Tech. Clemson should win that one easily. Ohio State versus Tulane. Tulane stands no chance. West Virginia versus Kansas State. I'll go West Virginia. Then you got Virginia Tech versus Old Dominion. Virginia Tech should win that one easily. The U, Miami versus Florida International University. I go Miami there. TCU versus Texas. Wow, TCU is only 3-point favorites in this one. I still don't believe in Texas. I'll go TCU. You got BYU versus McNeese. BYU beating Wisconsin last week. I'll go with BYU here. Oklahoma versus Army. Oklahoma should win that one. LSU, ranked number 6th. I'm all in on LSU and Coach Ed Orgeron. I got LSU in this one. Mississippi State versus Kentucky. Kentucky beat Florida. Could they pull the upset off here? I'll go Mississippi State. Oklahoma State versus Texas Tech. This is going to be one of those 61-62 type games. I'll go Oklahoma State. You got Auburn versus Arkansas. I'll go Auburn. Michigan State versus Indiana. I'll go Indiana. Michigan State hasn't looked good at all. Stanford versus Oregon. I'm going to go Oregon. They're on the come up. Wisconsin, Iowa. I'll go Iowa. There's going to be a lot of upsets this week, and I'm calling it now. I'll go Iowa. Washington State versus Arizona. I will go with... Or Arizona State versus Washington. Excuse me. I want to believe in Herm, but I know the right pick is Washington here. So I will go Washington. If Arizona State upsets Washington, then Herm Edwards just might be the best coach in all of college football. And yes, I am overreacting there a lot. But those are my picks for the weekend. Again, I got Wake Forest beating Notre Dame. I got, let's see, my other upsets. Going through it. Like I said, you got Indiana beating Michigan State, Oregon beating Stanford, Iowa beating Wisconsin. So I got 4 upsets this weekend. I think I'll be right. Iowa always has that one big upset too every year. So, and plus it's at home at 5:30 Pacific time. Yeah, this is a game built for Iowa to win. So I think that's all we got for today. Today, I previewed the Thursday night football game between the Browns and Jets. I don't know why I want to keep saying the Ravens are playing tonight, but I got the previewed the Browns and Jets. I got the Jets winning tonight. Second segment, we talked MLB news. Third segment, I talked Jimmy Butler, Space Jam 2, and LeBron. And then for this segment, we talked college football, John Jones briefly, and then the San Jose Earthquakes. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.